EcoReport is a weekly public affairs program
providing independent media coverage
of environmental and ecological studies
with a focus on local, state, and regional people, issues, and events
in order to foster open discussion
of human relationships with nature and the earth
and to encourage you to take personal responsibility for living sustainably in the world.
EcoReport is produced by an independent team of volunteers
working at the studios of Community Radio WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana.
And financially supported by listeners like you.
Good morning and welcome to EcoReport. For WFHB, I'm Phil Casper.
And I'm Juliana Daly. In local news this week, the Environmental Protection Agency is considering adding Spencer to a list of cleanup sites, according to Congressman Todd Young's office. Groundwater contamination in Spencer put the town northwest of Ellettsville on the EPA's national priorities list on Monday. In a press release, the EPA said groundwater contamination along Franklin Street in downtown Spencer could warrant a federal Superfund site. The EPA says the downtown groundwater is contaminated with chlorinated solvent, petrotetrachlorothene, also known commonly as PCE or PERC. PERC is a chemical solvent commonly used in dry cleaning and to decrease metal. Superfund sites receive federal funding for long-term environmental cleanup projects. The West Fork of the White River flows through Spencer, and a popular public fishing point is located there. The source of the groundwater contamination is not currently known, according to the EPA.
A January 2016 report by Bloomington-based Western Ecosystems Technology studied the effects of wind turbines on bats and birds. The study examined Fowler Ridge Wind Farm in Benton County, Indiana, between August 3rd and October 14th, 2015. The report indicates that 164 bat carcasses were found at the wind farm in 2015 across six species. 122 birds were also counted by the study across 14 species. None of the species found on the property were classified endangered or threatened. These numbers are an improvement. The wind farm's bat fatality rate in 2015 was 72% lower than in 2010. Fowler Ridge's goal was a 50% reduction. Changes in operations were key to achieving this goal. For example, the wind farm feathers turbine blades at very slow wind speeds. The report explains that feathering blades, quote, results in less rotation of blades at lower wind speeds and greater reductions in bat fatalities, end quote.
The Indiana Office of Utility Consumer Counselor, or OUCC, attorneys are reviewing the Indianapolis Power and Light Company's request to raise rates by $124 million. The rate increase would pay for the company's new Eagle Valley Generating Station in Morgan County. It would reportedly also fund environmental upgrades and additional infrastructure investments at existing plants. Indiana Power and Light Company's Eagle Valley plant burns natural gas, replacing an aged coal combustion plant. Waste from the now-closed coal facility has been contained in situ in a trough enclosure. Indiana is the eighth highest producer of coal energy among the United States and the third highest consumer, largely due to industrial consumption, which totals more than residential and commercial coal consumption combined. Indiana is ninth out of 50 states in terms of overall energy consumption and emits the eighth highest emissions levels. The Indiana Office of Utility Consumer Counselor is inviting the public to comment on the proposed rate increase. Their website features an overview of the rate process and a guide to speaking out on pending cases.
On January 2nd, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service gave the Black Warrior Water Dog federal protection by listing it as endangered under the Endangered Species Act. The water dog is an aquatic salamander that lives only in the Black Warrior River Basin in Alabama. The water dog is among the most endangered amphibians in the country and has been affected by several stressors. Habitat degradation and segmentation have seriously diminished the animal's population. Pollution and sedimentation of the Black Warrior River's tributaries have harmed the species as well. As part of the Water Dogs Endangered designation, the service named 420 river miles within the river basin as critical habitat for the salamander. This requires all federally funded parties to ensure that their actions don't threaten the species. Water dogs are active mostly in the winter and at night. They spend most of their time hiding under submerged ledges, rocks, or logs.
A new study by the Center for Biological Diversity finds the EPA has been regularly permitting the use of unapproved pesticides. These chemicals are permitted using EPA emergency provisions and put into widespread use. One example of this practice is the application of the bee-killing pesticide sulfoxaflor on 17.5 million acres of farmland. The center argues that the EPA's routine use of its emergency provision has allowed pesticide companies to bypass the required pesticide approval process. As a result, chemicals with either known or undetermined risk have been applied to millions of acres of crops. The center also found that the vast majority of approvals were given without a public review and comment process.
A new study by University of Arizona economist Keith Myers demonstrates the hidden cost of American nuclear development. Myers' study found that radioactive fallout from Nevada nuclear tests was responsible for 340,000 to 690,000 deaths among Americans from 1951 to 73. Myers finds that Americans were exposed to most radiation through milk. Cancer rates increased dramatically in nearby Nevada communities, leading to over $2 billion in congressional compensation for affected individuals. Myers also discovered that U.S. nuclear testing probably killed 7 to 14 times more people than previously thought. Most of those affected were in the Midwest and Northeast and were exposed because of airborne fallout from the tests.
For many people over the age of 60, walking is the only option for exercise. However, a new study published in The Lancet shows that for such people, walking at a normal pace in cities with heavy pollution undercuts the benefits of the exercise, negatively affecting the heart and lung. The researchers followed 119 adults over 60 who took two-hour walks in London's Hyde Park and Oxford Street. Some of the participants were healthy, and others had chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or heart disease. Oxford Street has more traffic and increased concentrations of harmful pollution, such as black carbon, nitrogen oxide, and particulate matter. The researchers found more coughing, shortness of breath, and wheezing in those with pulmonary disease walking on Oxford Street. Those who walked in Hyde Park had greater lung function and less artery stiffness. According to the World Health Organization, air pollution causes over 5 million deaths worldwide each year.
Recent years have been lethal for environmentalists, but 2017 might prove to be the most lethal of all. While protecting their community's land or natural resources, 185 environmental defenders were killed in 2017 as of December 15th. At the current rate, it's expected that four of them will be killed somewhere in the world this week. Since the beginning of 2015, 132 environmentalists have been killed in Brazil, making it the highest number in the world. Many of these people died fighting illegal logging in the Amazon. The Philippines came in second with 75 deaths. The country with the most environmentalist murders per capita was Honduras. Many environmentalist deaths were associated with industrial development. 33 deaths last year were related to protests against mines. Agribusiness, hydroelectric dams, and logging were also violent. Many murders took place in remote villages and indigenous communities. For WFHB, I'm Phil Casper.
And I'm Juliana Daly. We love to hear from our listeners. Contact us about stories we've aired or if you have ideas for future stories. Please send emails to earth@wfhb.org.
And now it's time for Get Out and Hike, our segment showcasing the wonderful wild areas of southern Indiana and beyond.
This is Get Out and Hike, and I'm Jan Walker.
Hi, I'm Kathy Meyer. I'm the naturalist at Monroe County Parks and Recreation. We have several parks around the county. One of them is Flatwoods Park, which is west of Ellettsville. That is about 200 acres. And I'd like to tell you about one of the trails that is a good one to walk in the winter because it's paved and smooth, and it's only half a mile long. So it's a great place to go out as a family, get a little exercise and fresh air. And it starts right at the picnic area where the shelters are at Flatwoods Park. You'll see signs directing you to the Blue Trail. And there are interpretive signs all along the trail that explain the geology of the area, some of the history, and has a lot of information about water. Water that flows under the trail at a couple of bridge crossings where McCormick's Creek gets its start. And the water cycle and transpiration and the glacial geology of the area, groundwater. So those are some interesting things to read along the way. The trail itself goes through some old fields. This had been farmland at one time, and also through the woods and past several wetland areas where it's a good place to listen to frogs in the spring or look for birds and tracks of animals and see other kinds of wildlife. So the trail's open year-round. It's paved and smooth and is a great place for the kids with the tricycles or to walk the dog and just get out of the house for a little while.
Sounds like it'd be a great place for maybe some scout groups and maybe some daycares or first graders and stuff to learn about our area.
Sure. It's very easy for young children to get through, and they like to read the signs. There's also a hollow tree that the kids really like to go climb inside, and it's a great place to take pictures. There's some geocaches in the area, too, that people can look for if that's one of their outdoor pursuits.
Is there a website they can go to get further information?
There is some information about Flatwoods Park at the Monroe County website, Monroe County Parks and Recreation website. The address for that is mcparksandrec.org. So you can go to the website and find information about shelter rentals and the playgrounds and other details about the park. And we'd love to have you come and visit us.
In this week's feature, WFHB correspondent Jonah Chester covers Bloomington-based environmental startup B Corp.
In the past several years, the city of Bloomington has spent millions of dollars in an attempt to attract new businesses and industries to southern Indiana. A month ago, the city council approved a controversial food and beverage tax to fund a new convention center. The city is also planning a new technology and industrial park called the Trades District near Showers Commons. Just last week, the mayor's office announced its intention to purchase the 24-acre campus of the IU Health Hospital on 2nd Street, an acquisition Mayor John Hamilton referred to as
one of our string of pearls of unique and exciting opportunities along the B-Line corridor.
All of these big budget plans are an attempt by the city to draw a new wave of businesses to Bloomington. While the city's roots may be in blue-collar trades like quarrying and manufacturing, Bloomington is now placing its bets on tech startups and small businesses. No company embodies the type of business Bloomington is looking to attract more than the B Corp, a tech startup founded in Bloomington by Indiana University graduates. B Corp makes tech that helps support beekeepers, both on an industrial farming scale and the smaller hobbyist scale.
Our initial kind of plan was, you know, let's bring technology to beekeeping. It's a historically under-technologified, if that's a word, industry. There's really just not a lot of technology going on. And when you look at ag tech, which is a really adjacent space, I mean, bees and agriculture really go hand in hand. You know, agriculture is just completely, almost totally driven by data and technology these days, whereas beekeeping is almost, there's almost no technology implementation whatsoever in beekeeping.
That was Wyatt Wells, Chief Marketing Officer of B Corp. Wells, along with CEO Ellie Symes and Chief Operating Officer Simon Kuntz, has been a part of the B Corp since its initial inception. Symes explains that the B Corp initially started off after she developed a love for beekeeping.
When I was a freshman at IU, I had volunteered for a beekeeper, and I fell in love with it. So when I came back to campus my sophomore year, I decided to start a beekeeping program, thinking that other students might also be interested. So I got a Hutton Honors College grant to do that, and then that grew in attention, and then a Kelly professor, David Rubenstein, organized a course around how to keep the beekeeping program alive. And so my two founders, Wyatt and Simon, were actually students in the course, and they were really energized by the program and wanted to start a club. So I started a club with those two students and several other students. And then that club grew in attention. And I was invited to speak to the IU Foundation just about unique things students do with their grant money. So it's just kind of a fun presentation. But three of the board members pulled me aside and basically told me, we love you. We love what you've done with the club, but we want you to dream bigger and we want to help you.
And then really when 2016 came around, this was really our time, or 2017, sorry. We were all starting to work full time, and we really kind of ramped up there. As soon as 2017 kicked up, we launched our first product, which was called QueensGuard, and that was our first monitoring solution for beekeepers.
QueensGuard is a small-scale device planted in a beehive that uses the relative temperature of the hive to remotely inform beekeepers whether or not their queen has died.
Then that we launched in January and installed it in the beekeepers' hives in June. And then as we were debuting that product at trade shows this fall, we had commercial beekeepers ask us if we could help with the issue of hive theft, which we didn't realize was such a pressing issue.
Several months later, B Corp released the QGPS tracking system, a device that tracks stolen hives.
And so what we were able to do is take one of the sensors that we'd already been using for one of our other, for our first product, and we were actually able to adapt that into our second product, QGPS.
Hive theft is an issue that, according to Symes, has become a serious problem for farmers facing an increased crop demand and a shrinking bee population.
So it's beekeepers stealing from beekeepers, and it's centered around the almond pollination. So demand for almonds has gone up, I think something like 300% in the last decade, but the amount of beehives haven't increased. So the fee that beekeepers are receiving from renting their hives to growers is gotten really high. So what these thieves are doing is they're stealing the hives and then going to those growers or brokers that do these deals and getting their pollination fee for the almonds because of what's happened with this specific part of the industry. It's just created a market opportunity for this kind of quick turnaround and incentive to thieve.
While it's not the most glamorous of crimes, black market beehive trading has cost beekeepers millions of dollars in the last several years. In May of 2017, a man was arrested in California for stealing 2,500 hives off of almond farms. According to the Associated Press, the total value of the stolen hives was almost $1 million. According to Wells, most of B Corp's clients are located on the West Coast, where the illegal hive trade creates a perfect market for technology like B Corp's QGPS device. He explains why they decided to set up shop in the Midwest, thousands of miles away from their primary customer base.
Our support network is really all in Indiana. We've got so many great mentors. Most of our investors are all in Indiana. Just really, a lot of our support has come from Bloomington and also the Indianapolis area as well. But really, you know, we wouldn't have gotten where we were without all the help that we've gotten from the local Bloomington startup community and, you know, the state leaders in Indiana as well. There is a really big trend towards startup communities in the Midwest, and I think that's a really big trend these days. I think strategically, I think investors are starting to look back to the Midwest as, you know, an undercapitalized place where there is a lot of opportunity. So we do see ourselves as kind of on the forefront of that. Being a little closer to the market might be a little better, but at the same time, you know, we love to be in the heartland. We think that that's still a great, it's still a relatable place for a lot of rural people. So
Symes also adds that despite initially setting up in Bloomington out of convenience, they've established a support base in the business community in Monroe County.
Well, we set up here because obviously we were still students, so that was convenient. But our mentor and advisory network is in Bloomington. It's a really affordable place to do business. We've made a lot of connections in Bloomington, and that really helps because there's a lot of support services that you need as a startup. Our software development firm is in Bloomington. Our web designer, that firm is in Bloomington. So we've really kind of found our larger business network aside from customers in Bloomington. And it's just, it's kind of where we've set up ground and it's where we are to stay.
B Corp is planning on expanding their operations in the coming year, adding four positions to their organization. They're also hoping to add another product to their existing line by 2019. Reporting for WFHB, I'm Jonah Chester.
Are you an environmental activist, an expert on a particular issue of environmental concern, a concerned citizen interested in learning more about local and national environmental issues? EcoReport is seeking volunteer reporters to contribute short headline news stories as well as feature interviews. We provide all the technical training you'll ever need. Give us a call at 812-323-1200 or email us at earth@wfhb.org. That's earth@wfhb.org.
This is In Nature.
Part bird, part submarine describes the pied-billed grebe. These small brown birds have unusually thick bills that turn silver and black in the summer. They use their chunky bills to kill and eat large crustaceans along with a great variety of fish, amphibians, insects, and other invertebrates. They prefer to build their nests on floating platforms of plant material in shallow marshes. This year, Goose Pond, near Linton, is providing ideal nesting and brood habitat for grebes. Pied-billed grebes are unique in their flying habits, or lack thereof. Unlike other birds, the grebes stay on the same lake or pond from their spring arrival until they leave in the fall. The pied-billed grebe has distinguished itself by being the only goose pond marsh bird that has never been observed in flight.
You've been listening to In Nature, a production of WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana.
And now for our weekly events calendar. Take an off-trail tromp at Spring Mill State Park on Sunday, January 21st from 10 to 11:30 a.m. This hike will take you off the trail to discover things you may have not seen before. Meet at the Lakeview Activity Center and dress for the weather.
The Lunch with Nature series continues this month with a presentation on the common loon on Monday, January 22nd, from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Paintown State Recreation Area at Monroe Lake. When you visualize a loon, you probably pictured it on a Minnesota lake or in a Canadian inlet, but this northern bird shows up each year at Monroe Lake. Bring a sack lunch and learn the life history of this distinctive bird. Enjoy a short hike or activity following the presentation. Call ahead to register. Celebrate the close relationship that Monroe Lake has with eagles at the annual Eagles Over Monroe event on Friday, January 26th, Saturday, January 27th, and Sunday, January 28th at the Four Winds Lakeside Inn and Marina. Since reintroduction of eagles 30 years ago at Lake Monroe, bald eagles have survived and thrived. This event dives into the lives of eagles and other raptors. Tour the lake to see eagles in the wild, learn about recent research, and explore bird biology. Please register in advance.
Take a winter wood walk at Griffey Lake. Examine tracks and plant life, discuss strategies for cold weather survival, and learn tips for identifying tree species by the marks on the bark alone. Dress for the weather and wear comfortable shoes for this moderate hike on Sunday, January 27th, from 1 to 2:30 p.m. at the Griffey Lake Nature Preserve. Please register by January 22nd.
Enjoy Tree Talk at Brown County State Park on Saturday, January 27th from 1 to 2 p.m. Come to the Brown County State Park Nature Center for this in-depth look into the trees in the park. Legendary naturalist David Moe will teach you more about trees than you never knew you didn't know.
And that wraps up our show for this week. Eco Report is brought to you in part by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
This week's news stories were written by Linda Green, Norm Holy, Rebecca Mueller, and Wes Martin. Jonah Chester produced our feature. Jan Walker produced Get Out and Hike, and Cindy Bollet edited the segment.
Myself, Juliana Daly, compiled our events calendar. Kirsten Payton is our engineer and audio editor. Producer and script editor is Rebecca Mueller. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For Eco Report, I'm Juliana Daly.
And I'm Phil Casper. Join us on Thursdays at 11:30 a.m. before Democracy Now! And on Fridays at 5 p.m. before KiteLine for our weekly radio rundown of ecological news. You can access headline news and feature audio from our show anytime on the WFHB website.
You've been listening to the Eco Report,
a volunteer-powered production of Community Radio WFHB
in Bloomington, Indiana.
Available for download and podcast at news.wfhb.org.
Eco Report is your independent, ecologically inspired news source
for South Central Indiana,
bringing you news that the Earth wants you to hear.
Send your comments, suggestions, and story ideas
directly to the Eco Report staff.
The email address is
earth@wfhb.org.
That's earth@wfhb.org.